Turn to Proverbs 4:26. Proverbs 4:26. It says, ponder the path of thy feet. Ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. So we were just told to let our eyes look right on and thine eyelids look straight before thee. And now he says, ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. If you're keeping your eyes set before you, then your feet are going to be walking in the same place that your eyes are headed. So now we want to ponder the path of our feet and make sure that we're walking the walk so that we get to where we're looking at. To ponder is to ascertain the weight of, to weigh, which is not what you'd think it would be. But when we go to number 4 and we see a more figurative definition of it, then you'll see how that ties into the primary. Number 4 is to weigh a matter, words, etc. mentally, to give due weight to and consider carefully, to think over, meditate upon. Now that's what we think of when we think of pondering, right? So we're weighing matters and words mentally, giving due weight and consideration to them, thinking them over. Yes, exactly, weighing your options, right? So that's why it makes sense that to ponder primarily means to weigh something. So Solomon here encourages us to carefully consider and think seriously about where we are headed in life. And that's important for us all to do. And I think this is probably why some people have what they call midlife crises, because they get into their mid-40s and they haven't really been given a thought to where they're going, what they're doing. And then all of a sudden they're like, whoa, I'm old. Or I feel like I'm old. I'm like, my life's half over. What am I doing? I don't even know where I'm going. I don't even have a plan. I'm just kind of going, right? And they haven't been pondering the path of their feet, I suppose. So in the book of Haggai, it tells us that we are to consider our ways. Haggai 1 and verse 5. As soon as I find it. Oh, there we go. Haggai 1 and verse 5. So it's after Zephaniah and before Zechariah, just like three books back from the end of the Old Testament. Haggai 1 and verse 5. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. This was speaking of building the Lord's house and giving to his work. I still remember years ago when I preached on giving to God. You probably remember this. And Henry was there. He was just a little boy back then, probably he might have been 5 or something. And that one of the themes of that sermon was consider your ways, consider your ways. And Carrie told me when they got in the car and they were going home, and he says, Mom, she said, yeah, consider your ways.
You got something out.
Yes, he did. I thought that was funny. To consider is to view or contemplate attentively, to survey, examine, inspect, scrutinize. It's to contemplate mentally, fix the mind upon, to think over, meditate, or reflect on, bestow attentive thought upon, give heed to, take note of.
Consider your ways and your thoughts will be established.
It's commit thy works unto the Lord and thy thoughts shall be established. Yep. But something similar to that, when you consider your ways, and then you commit your works unto the Lord, and then your thoughts are established. Yes. So when we consider, we ought to contemplate attentively, inspect and scrutinize. Like the Lord's telling us here, really put yourself under the microscope and really think critically and honestly about where you're going and what you're doing. We won't grow unless we do that. Right, pretty much if you're going to grow, you've got to really consider where you're going and be very brutally honest with yourself. We're told in Lamentations 3 and verse 40 to search and try our ways. We looked at this verse not long ago in a sermon, I think it was. Now I don't remember when it was, but I remember reading it just shortly ago. Lamentations 3 and verse 40, right after Jeremiah. It says, "Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord." So turning again is a result of searching and trying our ways, considering our ways, in other words. Now we're told in Ephesians 5 and verse 15 that we are to walk circumspectly. Ephesians 5 and verse 15. "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." Circumspectly is such a neat word. I really like it because it's one of those words where it's made up of two words, and if you know what those two words mean, then you can figure out what the big word means. The definition bears this out, and then the etymology bears it out. Circum, like circle, right? And spectly, like spectacles, like looking. So looking in a circle or looking around, looking all around, which is what it means. Circumspectly is in a circumspect manner, with circumspection, cautiously, warily, carefully. If you see somebody and they were walking through the mall and they were constantly turning around and looking 360 degrees, what would you say? That guy is wary of something, right? He's concerned about something, right? He's being circumspect or paranoid, one of the two. Circumspect is, when we're speaking of things or actions, it's marked by circumspection, showing caution, well-considered, cautious. Of persons, which is what Paul's saying here, telling people to walk circumspectly, it's watchful on all sides, attentive to everything, cautious, heedful of all circumstances that may affect action or decision. So the circumspect person is paying attention to what's going on, right? He's not burying his head in the sand like the ostrich. He's duly considering things and watching, and therefore he can make decisions about where he should go next or what he should do or how he should react. Now we're told in 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5 that we should examine ourselves whether we be in the faith. This is another thing we should do too. 2 Corinthians 13, 5, Paul says, "Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates." So it's very important that we examine ourselves and prove ourselves and see if we are acting like children of God. See if we have the evidence in our life that we're children of God, so that we can have the assurance that we're not reprobates, right? That we are God's children. And that comes with self-examination. And if we don't seriously think about where we're going, we will be likely to go where the world leads. You're just going to follow. It's not walking circumspectly is like being on a raft in a river, and you're just going to end up, wherever that river's going, you're going to end up down there. You might bounce around a little bit on the way, but your final destination is going to be wherever that river takes you. If you're walking circumspectly, you might realize that there's a waterfall coming up and go over to the side and get off, right? You're paying attention, which is what we should do. And then the second part of that verse, Proverbs 4 and verse 26, says, "And let all thy ways be established." So if we ponder the path of our feet, then our ways will be established. Establish means to render stable or firm, to strengthen by material support, to ratify, confirm, validate, to confirm, settle what is weak or wavering, to restore health permanently, to give calmness or steadiness to the mind, to calm anger, or to settle doubts. So in other words, if we seriously consider where we're going in life, our decisions and actions, which are our ways, will be strengthened, unwavering, and steady, which will lead to calmness of mind and alleviation of doubts and fears. And then we're told in Proverbs 16 and verse 3, this is the verse that Seth just mentioned a minute ago, to commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. So if we commit the works unto the Lord, then our ways are going to be established. Our thoughts will be established. So if whenever you decide what you're going to do, whatever work you're going to do, then you commit that to the Lord and trust Him that He'll help you to get it done, and to do it right, and then your thoughts will be established, and you won't be wavering about it and wondering, should I do this? Have I made the right decision? When you've committed it to the Lord, then He gives you resolve to follow through with what you've committed to. And then it says there, how did it say it? It says to let all thy ways be established. And I just wanted to draw your attention that it says all thy ways. A way is a course of life or action, means, manner. It's a path or a course of life, the activities and fortunes of a person. In plural, like in ways in this case, it's habits of life, especially with regard to moral conduct. So your way is what you do in life, the course that you take, the actions that you take, the habits that you make. And your habits are a result of your actions. Your actions are a result of your thoughts. So you have thoughts which turn into actions, which turn into habits, which turn into your destiny, what you continually do. That's why it's important to let all your ways be established. So all of our activities and habits need to be established, and they will be if we seriously consider where we're going in life, if we ponder the path of our feet, like it says there in the first half of the verse. Our ways include many things, like our religious and our spiritual life, or our family life, or our love life, or our work life, or our personal life, as well as our entertainment, recreation, relationships. All those things are our ways, everything that we do in life. And so we ought to be letting them all be established. Let them all be stable and made firm. Consider every aspect of our lives and make sure everything that we do is in accordance with the Word of God, with how God wants us to live. We should consider all our ways and make sure that they are heading in the direction that God wants them to, in other words. So that takes care of verse 26.